Well, we've been studying about that day when we are going to see Jesus face to face and exalt him. And what a day that will be. And as we wrap up our series, we've announced for a couple weeks that we're going to give you an opportunity to share some of your thoughts and things that you've been touched by and encouraged by about heaven. But what I thought I'd do is maybe go first. As I've studied myself and as I've listened to the other teachers and meditate about heaven, it's been really good for me. And if you've been around me enough, you know that a lot of the times as I think of things or words pop in my mind, a song comes with it. Right, Linda? A song pops out. Well, I had a lot of songs about heaven as I was thinking through it, studying for myself, listening to the others, but there was one that just kept coming up and up all the time. One that probably many of you don't even know, unless you're as old as me. I think I learned it in Sunday school 50 years ago. But it goes like this. And if you know it, you can sing along with me. Heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I'm gonna see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. All the old people sit over here. Great song though. Little chorus to help us remember heaven. Heaven is wonderful. Absolutely. And it's going to be our eternal home. So as we wrap the series up, you know, this wasn't by no means an exhausted study of heaven. So many subjects that we study about God, His kingdom, heaven, it's a life study. And you just can't study one or two portions. You've got to study from Genesis to Revelations, everything that God says about heaven, or you could come up with a wrong interpretation. That's what we're learning on Saturdays, how to study God's Word so we can accurately interpret what God has for us. So, you know, the Bible tells us that God's Word is truth. It's full of truth, but it's like a treasure hunt. A treasure hunt that's more valuable than gold and silver. So what you and I have to do, as we give through Scripture, and anytime we see things about heaven, we want to jot it down on a piece of paper in our hearts and minds. This is what God wants us to know so that we can gather all the data that God says about heaven, and then we can come to real conclusions. Because heaven is tough. Heaven uses our imagination. There's a lot of times where we're just kind of wondering what it's like, and we have to be careful that we don't wonder beyond what Scripture says. And I think for most of us, we understand that heaven is just beyond our imagination, and we cannot wait. Who's ready for heaven? Yeah, I am ready for heaven. So, with that, we're going to open this up to you. I need somebody who's bright, quick, maybe handsome, smart, alert, so when they see your hand go up, they can run to have this open mic. Jake, I was thinking of you. Such a young, good-looking man. Would you be willing to take the cordless mic from Dave over here? And if you see somebody raise their hand, Johnny on the spot, Jake on the spot, you be quick to just give them that mic so we can hear you, okay? Let's see how this goes. It's been going well for the past year when we've ended our series on things that you've learned about heaven. Who'll be first? It's going well past the series. Did you not learn anything about heaven? There's a hand. I see that hand.
I know I've been able to help with the teaching, but for me, when I taught on being heaven on earth, it really gave me a sense of urgency now. You know, because for most of us who are believers here, we're like, oh, I want the later, but it's the now that Christ is looking for us to live. For him now. And so that was for me, just the, you know, not because I'm a pastor here or get to teach, but just the idea of living with a sense of urgency to bring others along with me to glory.
Thanks, Jeff.
to die to get there.
Wait a minute. You're dying to get there or you don't want to die?
I don't
want
to die.
Oh, you're one of those rapture people, right?
That's it. I think we all are excited about what God has prepared. But sometimes letting go is very hard. And I think my brother called me this morning, right before I was coming in the door, and I'm like, why aren't you at church? So I have so many family members that it's not important. And so you just think about those people who might not get to heaven. And certainly they don't want to go to hell, but so it is wonderful, and the rapture is wonderful too, but I just think of so many people who might not go. Anyway. But anyway, and I only knew that song because I saw it on an old movie.
Yes, as young as Bev is. Thanks, Bev. Who else? Okay. Caroline, oh, we'll be over to Caroline next.
Back in the very beginning when Tim taught just introducing the whole series of heaven, he gave a different perspective that I personally had never really thought about. The fact that sometimes we can be better for others when we are gone and in heaven, and our time here on this earth is done. And that was just a totally different perspective for me to think about. I guess even a more beautiful way of looking at death, not just looking at the beauty that we would have in heaven, but the fact that sometimes our legacy can be even better once we are from this earth. And knowing my dear grandmother, who had passed away about 4 years ago, that her legacy has lived on, and now my girls are being able to have the beauty of what she placed inside of me. So she's living on even though she's not here.
Amen. Thank you. Carolyn over here. Jake. Boy, he's quick.
One thing I don't think I've thought about before is the perspective that you guys gave us of our time here is just a dot in the midst of eternity. And, you know, you might be going through something that seems like it's going on forever and ever, or you might be praying for something that's going on forever and ever, but it's just a dot in our dot of life, you know, and just the eternity that we are going to spend with him. So that, I think that's given me a new hope, because I'm kind of like Bev. I want to go, it'll be a cool thing, but I really like it here too, you know, so it's just given me a new perspective.
Great, thank you. John Russell back there.
About heaven, I guess I've known the Lord for about 40 years, and I've always asked God, not every day, that all the people that you bring in my realm, that they would come to know Jesus sometime. And so that's a safety in my mind that I leave that with the Lord. I don't know if they will or not, that's up to him. So when I look at heaven, I say, okay, if you know Jesus, you're going to be there. And I'll leave the details up to God, because I don't know what that's like. So that brings me to animals. Those of you that know me know that I love animals. And there's not too much mention of those in Scripture. And yesterday we were down the shore, down in Wildwood, and I was fishing. And I was watching, there were five ospreys at one time feeding, fish eagles they're called, diving down for fish. And in Revelation it says that there will be no more sea. And I'm not exactly sure what that means, if there'll be no more of those animals. And I look at God's creation, how beautiful that is. And another add-on to those things, about 40 years ago, I was a scuba diving instructor. So underneath the ocean is beautiful. And that would be sad to me not to see those creatures in heaven. And I'm sure God has a place for all that, and I'm looking forward to that.
Thanks, John. We certainly know during the millennium, the lion and the lamb will lie down with each other, so there will be animals, but not on the extent. Yes, Kathy.
I'm
My name is Kathy. I wasn't here for your service, but when I think of heaven, I think about all the strangers that have passed in a lifetime, friends, and spoke to them about the Lord. And then one day to be in heaven and turn around and see them right there with me, it'd be a big celebration for people that was lost and you thought, well, they would never get themselves together. You look back and you see them. So I just think heaven would be a great big celebration for people that, you know, you just thought they never had no hope, and your friends, your enemy, whoever, and you all get to meet together with the Lord. It's just, that's what I think heaven for me.
It will be that and more.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jake, there's somebody over here. Oh, Charlene.
A couple of months ago when I was talking to Tim, he told me that you guys were going to be doing a series on heaven, and I thought, that's awful. Like, why would you have him teach on heaven? Because of what he was going through. And that was, I know it seems weird now, but that was my perspective. I thought, why, you know, don't think about that. Like, just because he was in the midst of, you know, maybe I looked at it as facing heaven as a bad thing. And then throughout the series, I was like, you know what? I realized that I was putting too much weight on earthly things and earthly people, and I guess not putting my trust in the Lord to know that, well, number one, that heaven is a great place. I just had never wanted to think about it because I wanted to stay here. But when Jeff had talked about the tick mark, you know, in the rubber band, that made an impact on me. And now I can look at things, I feel like I look at things differently, and I'm like, constantly telling my kids, you know, relax, it really doesn't matter. Like, it helped me to put my life here in perspective, and I see things a little bit differently. And the other day I was going to get my hair done, and the girl that does my hair, she's about 40, and she just lost a close friend to cancer. And she's not a believer. She says, you know, she's Catholic, she's gone to church, but she's kind of stopped going to church. She couldn't even sit through the service. She says she walked out 3 times. She's really angry. She doesn't understand why God takes, you know, good people versus bad people. And so I was able to share with her about the rubber band and the tick mark, and we talked for a good 45 minutes. And if it hadn't been for that series, I wouldn't have been able to offer her the hope of heaven and to let her know that, you know, this is something that you can't get there unless you believe in Jesus. Mm-hmm. So it just gave me a lot more knowledge on and perspective through this whole series. So.
Thanks for sharing that, being honest, Charlene. That's what we want to be about with our teaching here, that we're equipping you so that you're prepared to give an answer for the hope that is in you every opportunity. Wonderful. Just a couple more, because I want to close with some thoughts. Jeff, could you share the little rubber band?
Okay, sure. So, Joy, that's okay. So if you go home today, take a rubber band and cut it. And then in the center of the rubber band, just take a pen and just mark it just a little bit and then stretch it out. And that was our lives, or that tick mark, compared to the rubber band, which would represent eternity.
Good. See, you missed that lesson. We have it on CD, though. Dan Seif, all the way. Oh, go ahead, Tom.
I appreciate what Scott shared with us and comparing Eden with heaven and how the contrast there, and again, it just heightened the, you know, the Garden of Eden was so beautiful, but heaven's going to be so much more, you know, and all the things that happened in the Garden of Eden is not going to happen in heaven. It doesn't even have the possibility of happening. So that was really cool. It's really good to know.
Yeah, I agree. That was a great lesson. Dan Seif, Jake, all the way over there. That's your last run. Dan's going to be last. Jill? Jill was raising her hand too. Sorry. I don't even see Jill. Oh, there she is. All right, Jill.
It's funny. Years ago, I heard a songwriter who had a song that said, "You're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good." And I mean, I think I had that as a theme for a long time. And there is some truth to that when you're not looking at the earth and you're always focused on heaven. But I think it was Jeff's message that really hit me to realize that I'm so earthly minded, I'm no heavenly good, and it really gave perspective to me about focusing a little bit differently, bringing it to a midstream kind of thing. So I really appreciated that. And as I was sitting here, I was thinking about, I just got back from vacation and I was up at Niagara Falls, and I did the Maid of the Mist, and that was sort of, it gave me a perspective of life, because we went into the falls, and as you look at it, it was awesome, it was scary, it was fun, and then all of a sudden, as you turned around through it, it was just clear and glorious and bright, and you can look back and see what you came through, and it just sort of like gives me a picture of our life and then coming out of it and what heaven is. It just is it's a neat little thing that God sort of touched me with thinking about it.
Thanks, Dan. One more long run, sir. Let's give that man a hand as he goes.
What touched me the most, I believe it was Tim talking about how Earth is kind of like a photo representation of heaven, and it doesn't do the original justice, so to speak. We just have different snippets of, nature and different things that we live among, but just like a photograph, it will fade, and we'll be able to see the original. And copies don't do anything to what the original actually is. So we may have glimpses here and there of the beauty and the majesty of what God's given us here, but when we go there, we're going to see everything, the clarity, and we're just going to wonder how, in comparison, we even saw the majesty here compared to what God has for us there. I think that's what really impressed me the most.
Okay, thank you. Thank you all for sharing. It's very meaningful. Sorry about the breakup on the mic. Maybe it's low on the batteries, but we appreciate you doing that. If you turn to your Bibles, you can turn to Luke 16. Jeremy, if you could put up Luke 16, starting with verse 19. Just really to highlight some of the things that I think Jeff and Bev and John alluded to. I appreciate Steve having the format that we're going to teach about heaven and ending with this one, because I think with all of its glory, one of the things that we have to do is remember absolutely what's so important here. And we get a very vivid picture from this parable that Jesus shared with the rich man and Lazarus. Now, most parables are just a story to give a heavenly meaning. There's a good chance that this was really actually a poor man named Lazarus, because it mentions a name. No other parable has a name. Also, it mentions Abraham, who's a real character that we know. But it's a very vivid picture of the chasm of heaven and hell. Who will be there and who won't. And for us to end, I think it's a very sobering thought that we need to see, because of the glory of heaven, we need to see the urgency here on earth. So if you would stand with me as we read this, I want to just read the whole story. It's a little lengthy, but I think it'll go quick. You all read it with me, and I'll get started here. Chapter 16 of Luke, verse 19 to the end. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. the rich man also died and was buried in hell. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead comes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Thank you. You may be seated. Let me just open in prayer. Father God, what a sobering story. And as we conclude our study on heaven, Lord, we ask that you would move all of our hearts and stir us to just what is needful, how we need to be your ambassadors, your spokespersons. We are the light of the world, and we want to be that in light of all that will come in your glory in heaven as you rule and reign forever. And thank you for this portion of Scripture that we can just put into our hearts and minds as well through Jesus, I pray. Amen. One of the things as I studied this passage was the word regret. It came up. I'm sure many of us have had regrets. I had one that was pretty powerful in my life some years ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago, where my son and his daughter took my wife and I, Luane, to Germany, to Europe. They love there, they go there. He speaks German pretty fluently, so he just loves to go there, and took us all around the towns and villages. And we went to Austria. And if you know my wife, one of her favorite movies is Sound of Music. I've seen it 5 times, and it's good. But we had to go and see the different sites where they did that movie. So prior to going over, my son told me, "Dad, here's what you got to do. You got to," and he gave me this little pouch that hangs around your neck. "This is where you keep your passport. Do not ever leave it." So I slept with it. Okay? He says, "Guard your money carefully." Okay? There are tremendous thievery going over there. We have a friend who lost their passport. Causes all kinds of problems. Okay, I get it. So Luane and I took our first adventure alone without Brian and Ginny to see the Sound of Music, because he didn't care a lick about it. All right? And we were off, and it was a good tour. It was a bus tour. We'd stop, see the cathedral where they got married, see the hills and all this wonderful, the hills are alive stuff. And when the tour bus came back, they dropped us off. We were reading our map. We're learning the countryside. We're getting pretty, this is cool. So we thought we'd walk home. It was about 1.5 miles. Walked home, ran through this big, long city, and as we're going through these little alleyways, we were only probably 1/2 mile from the place we were staying at, and here's this little Brockwurster stand. Now, they're all over the place, and I like Brockwurster. So we're going to stop and have a little bite to eat. It was a little after lunchtime. Now, on the way, as our walk, I had a jacket on, and you know how you take your coat off and you tie it around your waist? So that's how I had it. So when I went to pay for my bratwurst, I had to go all the way back here in my pocket, unbutton my wallet, take it out, and I paid for my bratwurst and Luane's lunch. And I said, she was still in line waiting for her sandwich. I said, Luane, I'll go get a table. There's a little cafe, the table. So I had my wallet, put the change back in there, and for a moment, I thought, oh, I should put it all the way back here, button it up, put it in there. But I had this coat on. It was, you know, I'll just put it in my pocket right here. Now, there was a moment of time where I said, I heard the voice, bad idea. But I said, it'll only be a second. So in it goes right here, and I go over to the table, and when I got down the table, I got my wallet out to put in my back pocket, and it was gone. Now, the place we bought the bratwurst was crowded as anything. I think I know the guy who took it. Because there were these gypsy-looking people next to me. We're all waiting in line, this and that. And he probably watched me. It was one of those wide pockets. It was probably sticking out, going, get me, right? In a moment, it was that quick. Now, I want to tell you, it was a Sunday. The banks were closed. I tried to call over in America to stop all my cards and all. It was a huge hassle. I laid in bed that night, and I got very angry at myself. Stupid. What did you do that for? The deep regret that came over me was very powerful. So powerful that I felt this anger that I said, Lord, I've got to get over this. I've got to get through this. I've got to recognize that you can work this for good. So I spent some time praying to God, Lord, help me through this. And God's peace came upon me. See, in that instance, I acknowledged God and gave him that situation. All right, we'll work it out. And it all did work out, to make a long story short. But the regret was so powerful. And you play it over in your mind, that moment. Why did I? You get to this passage here with the rich man and Lazarus, and the regret for the rich man is so powerful and so real. There's three things I want you to take away today with the whole aspect of heaven and those who may not be going there because of choices and regrets. The first one is this: heaven is real. We know that because we have tremendous confidence in this book, God's Word. It is true. Everything written in here. And there is wonderful things written about heaven and horrible things written about hell. It's real. It is also certain. Ben, what's his name with the kite? Benjamin Franklin. Death and taxes. We're all going to die. We're going to die, Bev. We don't want to, unless Jesus comes. I'm hoping that too. We are going to die. Death is certain. And it's powerful. And the third thing that I think is powerful that we get from this story is death is final. There's no second chance. And when I see the agony of this rich man because of his choices, he had the opportunity. Abraham told him, you had the prophets. You had Moses. We have the Word of God. We're telling our neighbors, our friends. Some of them are not listening. And the regret that they will have in the moment that they die, it just grips my heart. And that's what I think John and Bev and Jeff are relating to. We have to see that sense of urgency for those who do not know Christ. Now, we teach here that we save no one. Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, the message of the gospel, God is the one who calls and elects people to himself, but he uses us to give that message so that when they hear it, they respond. That's our cry here at Hope, that we would take the opportunity to tell everyone we know who Jesus is, and that trust in Jesus, that he would touch their hearts. That's what we want to be about here. And I just, for me, I want to develop a plan that every day my heart is in tune with what God is doing out there, because that's one of the number one things that God is about in this world, is redeeming the lost. He's calling a people unto himself. We see that in heaven, so that one day every tribe and nation and language will be there. God will accomplish that purpose, but he's using you and I. And we just, I just heard some sad news this week, as Bev shared about, was he your cousin or just a close friend? He was your cousin. Our small group had been praying for Jerry for quite a while now. And Bev has reached out in the time of his sickness for him to really maybe awaken to what God has for him in this crisis where he's at the precipice of life and it's ending soon. And we just heard this week that Jerry died. Bev even took the situation, as you've been reading, if you're on the email, you've been reading Tim's, kind of his diary on the email of his journey through this and how it's touched us. And she took one of those copies and sent it to Jerry. No response. Not, thank you, I appreciated that. Or so Bev wasn't sure, and maybe it touched Jerry's heart. We don't know, but there was no response. But I couldn't help thinking when I heard, I think I heard on Friday, that Jerry passed on. Where is Jerry? Is he in that place where the regret of life will be internal because he rejected the only provision of salvation? Scripture says this, there is no other name given under heaven whereby you and I must be saved except Jesus. Please hear this. There are, all roads don't lead to heaven. God has one purpose and plan to redeem mankind, and that's through Christ and the sacrifice, the perfect life that he has come and lived and died for, because I can't live a perfect life. I needed redemption. I needed atonement. I needed a sacrifice, and I was unable to pay the price, but Jesus was. And you and I, by putting our faith in Christ and what he has done, we have been given eternal life. Let me read you a verse. You don't have to turn there. A powerful verse in 1 John 5:11. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life. That's where it comes from. And this life is in his Son. He who does not have the Son of God, he who has the Son has life. I'm sorry. Let me read that again so you get it. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who has gotten to that place where I've realized I needed a Savior, and it's Jesus. And by faith, I said, I rely upon the work that you did on the cross, Lord. That's why we take communion, to remind us of that. That's my salvation. I have the Son because I received him by faith. He gave it as a gift. Glorious. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Jesus gives us heaven. The rejection of Jesus gives us hell. That's powerful. And I want to encourage you, the remainder of life that we have, that we can be God's spokespersons. We can be his mouthpiece. Let me end with this verse here. 1 Corinthians 15:58. And if you remember, it was in the concept of learning that we're going to have new bodies and live with God forever. Here's the encouragement it says. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, in light of heaven and all that we have, let nothing, I want you to stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, which is preaching and teaching and sharing what God has done in your life. Because you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we have a glorious task. And if you, as you have given us time here on earth, I pray that we would not waste it. Lord, we thank you for the glorious vision of what heaven will be like. Even as God shared last week, no more temptation, only the tree of life flowing in the center, that we can freely partake of it. And it produces fruit on a monthly basis for life. We will live there forever with you. And I pray that our hearts would be stirred with that, that we would not, even as Charlene shared, not cling to this earth. We can enjoy this earth. We can live it fully. But it has to be for your purposes, Lord. So stir our hearts that we would be prepared, ready to share and give an answer for the hope that is in us. Make us here at Hope be men and women who love to share the news about Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.